So having a healthy marriage is not as simple as you as a person, you know, wishing it into existence. It takes hard work and dedication by all parties involved, and a whole heck of luck. Yeah, a whole luck, a lot of luck, right? But marriage doesn't have to be a chore. I think we have now established that it can be a blast too. And with the marriage series, we are going to be speaking to seasoned couples who have experienced it all and have worked to make their marriage a little heaven. And today, you know, when I was I saw that they're coming through, I was super excited. They've been married for 34 years. I'm one woman who does not shy away from saying my age, ne? So when I was born, they were getting married. So you can just understand the goosebumps, the feels and everything that I'm feeling today, because I'm speaking to people that, you know, they've been doing this whilst I was not yet born, you know. So it's quite interesting. We're going to be learning a lot. So navigating relationships with in-laws, yeah, ne? Can be both a rewarding and challenging aspect of marriage. You know, in-laws are an extension of the family unit, and fostering positive relationships with them can enhance the overall harmony and support within the marriage. So today we're going to be looking at the dynamic relationship of in-laws, and we are joined by my pastor, Pastor Mongwe. Here, you know, I called on the side. I promise, ne? Mrs. Mongwe is in class. Pundisi, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
We are good, Pundisi. Thank you for coming through to speak to us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Indeed. Thank you so much.
I pray on Wednesday, you know, the missus will join us.
I will. I spoke to her about today.
Yeah.
We had that situation. They're also busy with exams.
Yes.
And sometimes she's assigned to invigilate and stuff. So her situation is not as flexible as mine.
Yes. But we understand, Fundisi, and we do thank you. I agree, you are one, you know, so you speak for both of you. You speak for the both of you. So, Pundisi, this is an old age problem, you know, when it comes to the issue of in-laws. And sometimes I wonder, why do we still have this problem? But according to you, Pundisi, and how you have observed as working with couples and in your marriage yourself, you know, with Mam Ditcheni, why do we have generally this issue of in-laws?
I think that it starts with, no, I needed to say this. You refer to it as a problem, an age-old problem.
Yeah.
For me, it has been, 6 years. The chain and I liked each other for 6 years.
Okay.
And then we got married. So this is adding up to about 40 years.
Wow.
Of being in this relationship. And my experience with in-laws have been an opportunity, a privilege. Definitely not a problem. I found myself having more people I call family.
Okay.
And that's how we have treated each other, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an extension of a family. And I can't say it's been 100% both sides, but overall speaking, it's been so beautiful. I know that in most cases we have the Makotis. In
yes.
this case, my wife would be expected to have challenges with my family, like my parents, my siblings, and so on. But I can quickly speak for myself how I experienced my in-laws.
Yes.
I struggled with the death of my my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
I grieved her death. Sometimes I wonder if I was not being dramatic, but I'm not a dramatic person.
Okay.
It felt like I experienced the loss more than her own children did. I'm saying it felt like.
Yes.
I know there's no way of measuring it, but that's how deeply affected I was.
Mm.
And I treasure her children, who are my brothers and sisters-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be perfect everywhere, but I wouldn't trade this for anything else.
Yes.
Ndicheni, my wife, if I were to tell my people that I have a problem with her, my family would all turn on me.
Oh, okay.
They would think there's something wrong with me.
Yes.
To have a problem with her. And this is because before we got married and after we got married, she has gone all out. I give credit to her, not to my family.
Yeah,
she has found a working way,
okay,
of endearing herself with her in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
My family, that is. And I can't speak ill of her. Not that I have any content for speaking ill of her. But I'm just saying, even if something was to go wrong in my mind and I start saying funny things about her, my family would not hesitate to conclude that there is something wrong with me than with her. And I think this ought to be doable for everybody.
Yeah.
It ought to be possible to have a general working relationship with in-laws.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
when it happens, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. So, Mfundisi, you know, growing up, I think this is the understanding that how things used to happen, in the olden day, where we were encouraged to marry within, the culture, within the tribe, so that we don't have those clashes there when it comes to culture. You know, I'm Shangan, and then I went and married the Zulu man, and then I'm like, yo! Okay, this is quite interesting. The culture shock, the integration there. But I do know that you and Umam Dicheli, she's Venda, you are Tsonga. So were there differences in terms of cultural expectations from the in-laws? Yes, you dated for 6 years and she was able, to integrate herself nicely, same as you. But looking at the two different cultures from the two of you, how did you work that out? Because I try to believe that one culture from the in-laws, they're expecting Makoti to do this. The other ones, they're expecting, Mkongwana, the Mkwenyana to do this. How did the both of you now navigate that space?
Okay, let me start from a quick biblical background. The Bible says in Genesis 2:24, therefore a man, and if I may add, and a woman shall leave their mother and father and cling to their spouses.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happening there, my understanding is that the Bible recognizes that we come into the union with a background.
Yes.
We don't come tabula rasa, with a clean slate.
Mm.
And we need to be conscious of that reality as we form our union and ask ourselves, how does my background contribute or create complexities?
Mm-hmm.
Part of what you might be referring to when you talk about culture shock.
Mm.
That could be the culture of families.
Yes.
Even before you get to the culture of the clan, of the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are traditions in families that get brought into the marriage union. So when we move from the family of origin to the family of choice, which is the meeting of two individuals who at some stage were complete strangers,
mm-hmm.
if we are conscious of the fact that we are bringing our background. So it could be traditional traditions, customs, and culture that are shaping the way our worldview, including our worldview of marriage and relationships. In our case, one of the instances where that consciousness took place was when I was sending my elders to go and negotiate for a hand in marriage.
Okay.
So I sent elders who are from, from amongst my extended family.
Okay.
But I then appointed one elder who came from that culture to be our Maznyongo.
Okay.
Yes, the chief negotiator, the one who will go between us, literally.
Yeah.
Because you have in their setting, then they have their negotiating team sitting in one room and another, and your team sitting in another.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's got to be the one who literally goes between the two groups. So we picked somebody who we were confident will have an understanding of our language, our values, our idioms, but who can truly represent us, but who would also know how to repackage it to land there.
Yes.
To land in the way that will be understood. And that made it so easy. We were done in less than 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And at that stage, just to give an example, we then said to the late Brother Mahamba, we said to him, now that we have agreed on the negotiations, go back and tell them that the Mongwes are thirsty.
Okay.
And they would like to have some water.
Mm.
If they don't mind. Now, Brother Mahamba understood exactly what we meant by being thirsty.
Mm.
We were now asking for the bride's hand in marriage.
Yes.
And he was able to translate it. I don't know what he said to them.
I wish I was there.
And then we were served with water. And now what that meant is we double checked if they understood the idiom, the metaphor. So he assured us they understand. So we drank the water, which meant that if we wanted, we can either take our bride with that same day,
mm-hmm.
or we can set a date when we will be coming to fetch her. She's otherwise ours already. So this is, you got to be intentional and put an effort about understanding each other's background. Now, you want to hear this. Now she has arrived. I've married her. We have had the wedding and so on. And one day we were at home. And we get there. She's serving us as makoti. She's cooking.
Yes.
She came and knelt the vendor way on the side.
Yes.
And cupped her hands. And she spoke in Shangan to all of us who were seated together.
Yeah.
She said, "Swakudya swiherile."
Yes.
Now, everybody was surprised. There was a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
So I had to pick it because of my exposure to vendor culture.
Yes.
That what she did was she simply made a direct translation of their metaphor for saying the table is set. in Venda, they would have said, Zwiliwa zofela. Which means the table is set. Yes. You may approach the table. But that's not what it means. If you say swakudya swi herile,
the food is finished.
So a very interesting culture shock.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
But so you got to be intentional and be conscious about what you're doing.
Yes. Oh, wow. I was not ready for that one. I was not ready. So when this is saying, I think I'm just going to stick to the examples that you gave us, you know, so that our listeners as well, maybe they can use, other scenarios that they are having. So in that situation, Mfundiswami, you would have the aunties and the malumes. Usually it's us women. I don't know why we have issues. But anyway, you would have, the aunties now wanting to rebuke, your wife, wanting to speak ill of your wife, to correct your wife because she said something that was wrong, right? She did something that was wrong at the time, even though it was just a matter of the cultures not, not aligning, or you or the cultures not communicating clearly there. But at that point in time where there is an issue and your parents, your sisters and everyone's are the ones who now want to correct your wife, how do we deal with that? Because sometimes the issues in Fundisi, they stem from there saying, you, who are you? I didn't marry you. You can't correct me, Or you find that as I'm correcting the Makoti, I do it in a very not so nice way where now it breeds conflict. So how do couples now navigate that issue where the family is the one that wants to correct, or even though they might do it right or wrong, but how do we navigate that situation?
Okay, thanks. If we stick to that example, for instance, because I was on site, I saw it happen. I saw the bewilderment in the faces of my family.
Mm-hmm.
My parents, my siblings. They were still shocked, and she just said that and she left back to the kitchen. So I had to take over and save them from their misery quickly.
Okay.
By, say, interpreting what she was communicating.
Yes.
So, and we need to understand that when we communicate, and this is where most problems start, when it comes to in-laws relationships, we observe something, we give meaning to it. Yes. All of us do that in all situations. When a situation presents itself before us, whether it's something that has been said or something that has been done, we give meaning to it. And our meaning giving, our interpretation, is based on our own background, our own history. So because we are Tsonga, when she said, swakudya swiheri, we had her in our language.
Yes.
But she was saying it, although she used Shangan words, she was saying it in her language. So, my folks, because they don't have the benefit that I had already of being exposed to the Venda culture, I had her in Venda when she said, though she spoke Shangan.
Yes.
Her in-laws, my family, had her in Shangan.
Mm.
There's no other way they would have had her. So, I had to come in and assist my family to hear her in her culture.
Yes.
And reinterpret it for them.
Mm.
And when I assisted them to help them give new meaning, new interpretation to her actions and words, her actions the body language of kneeling down and clasping her hands and then saying with her mouth, they were able to reassign new meaning to it.
Yes.
And we all burst into laughter.
Mm. Yeah.
What could have been an unfortunate and confusing situation became a moment of endearment. They just enjoyed her. They laughed at her in a respectful way, in an appreciative way.
Mm.
So it would have been my role as the go-between between my wife and my family to help bring harmony.
Yes.
By being interested in one person, a spouse could have said, hey, you can't come and do your vendor thing here.
Yes.
What do you expect my family to think?
Yes.
You have no regard. You don't put any effort into understanding my people and integrating and ingratiating yourself into our family systems.
Mm.
But I became her advocate, although she was not accused. There was just confusion.
Hey.
So we assist because we understand our family. In this case, I understand my family.
Mm.
And there's nothing that I can ever do that can break my relationship with my family. They'll never throw me in a dustbin.
Yes.
But so I need to bite the bullet on behalf of my wife when there are issues. I must make sure she looks like an angel, even if I think she's not an angel.
Yay!
I must be the bad one. So if there's got to be, for instance, we are unable to assist at home materially, I must be the one. I must make sure it's clear I'm the one who's failing.
Hey.
She would have loved to be helpful, but I stopped her. Something of that sort.
Mm.
In this instance, for instance, when it comes to helping with material needs at home, my wife leads.
Mm.
I might initiate an idea, but I make sure if it's about doing good to the family at home, my family must not see me as helpful at home.
Mm.
I put her as the face of the Justice family in Kempton Park.
Mm.
So all gifts that go home, they are from the journey.
Yes.
And my family, my siblings and so on, will not ask for help from me.
Hey.
Because they know I'm going to say I'm broke.
Mm.
And I'll say, try my wife. She might do something. And if it's a big ask, in the meantime, I will prepare my wife and tell her where I can get resources to empower her to assist at home.
Mm.
And same thing. She's been taking care of the expenses of looking after my mother for the past 20 years. Mm. She pays the worker who was nursing my mother. She's continuing to do the same even now that mom has gone to rest.
Yes.
To get help for my sisters at home and so on. And those people, the employees, understand she's the boss. She's their boss.
Yes.
And so we design it in a way that I look good at her family, and she looks good at my family.
Mm.
And we've found this to work good. You can't report your spouse to your family. you don't do that.
Sure.
Because when you have fixed things, your blood family is going to remain with a grudge. That person did this to our brother.
Yes.
And yeah.
Sure. No, it's good we're having this. That's why things didn't want us to have this conversation, because wow. Okay, Mfundisi, you know, you mentioned something there that, because I've not seen, but I think, wherever I've heard it, that it might be the source of the problem, you know, in other people's marriages, where, for example, you said that your family can't ask anything from you, right? They have to go to Mamdicheni. How now do you protect her when now they come and say, Musindicheni always says there's no money. Musindicheni is always saying no. Do you understand? Whilst it is the both of you's agreement, because I would like to understand that after she has received the request, she brings it to you, right? And then you discuss as a couple, and then you say, okay, we can or we can't. But the family now is not looking at Pastor Justice as the one who said no, or as these people as a unit, the ones that said no. They're looking at Ndicheni saying, she's the one. You know, this Makoti is the one that is, we even now have the phrases of, is eating our son's money, you know.
Yeah.
So how do couples navigate that one? Because it becomes a problem.
Okay, let's stay with that one. But I'm glad you made a follow-up on that example. In the beginning, they will, like most likely in the beginning of the relationship, they will naturally come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And by me, I'm representing all males, as a general, yeah. Then I say to them, I'm not sure if this, I can afford this, but try my wife. Now, before they go to my wife, I will have prepared my wife. My wife will know what this is about.
Yes.
And then, if the answer, we discuss it and there's no way we are able to help, instead of her saying, no, we can't help, or I can't help, remember we're saying she must look like an angel.
Yes.
So I'm the one who will take the message back and say, I saw you did speak to Ndicheni. And we discussed it at home. And she was telling me about her frustration that she's unable to assist this time. Or she's not able to assist fully. I also looked around. I know what she's speaking about. Then I can explain the family situation. So I'm the one who's going to carry the bad news, the bad response, not her.
Yes.
But where we are able to help, even if that help is coming from my bank account, where people have separate bank accounts, she's going to deliver it. But where we are unable to help, it's me who has made the decision that, I'll communicate the bad news. Let me put it that way.
Yes. So
it might never work 100% positively in all situation with all the individuals. But this approach helped mitigate the possibility of a fallout between them. There are people who, between in-laws, there are people whose situation is incurable. No matter how much you do, they just have twisted minds about this. They are selfish about it, and they don't wish the Makoti any prosperity. They want to have their sibling and their child to themselves. And this can go to serious extremes. So back to that text in Genesis,
mm-hmm.
couples must be able to live their mother and father. If you ask me, they must be able to consciously cut the apron strings. This does not mean abandonment, but what that means is that the new couple becomes the executive of that family. They no longer run things through their families of origin. They make decisions from here and then execute those decisions even where it affects them, their families of origin. Just a street language one advice.
Yeah.
You have said it's usually ladies.
Yes.
And I'm quoting you. This is not my handwriting.
Yes, Mpundu.
Now, I think that let's start with mothers-in-law. Ba manwa mina, ba humaka mukasi, imagoveni, ba tekwe akamongwe hitu homu.
Yes.
Ba fike kamongwe hitu homu. And look, ba fika, it is reasonable that she wished to be accepted, treated with compassion, love, and empathy when my mother came to the Mongwet family.
Yes.
And it would be nice for her to remember Wona, my mother and Ndicheni. But the akamongwe hitu homu. I don't know how to say that in English.
I will translate from this. I got it.
So, one would wish the two of them could be a team. And I've seen a mother-in-law elsewhere who has spoken to her daughter-in-law and said, my daughter, the people of this family are like this.
Yes.
But pilutada, I'm trying to repeat the way I had heard it being said.
Yes.
So, here is a mother-in-law coaching the daughter-in-law. And she's talking about her husband and her son. That they are strong-willed, stubborn people, all the males of that family. She is saying to her Makoti, I understand you. I don't judge you. Your challenges are similar to the challenges I have dealt with. Now, that mother-in-law, by talking like that, has earned a right.
Yay!
To coach the Makoti.
True.
Because Makoti would understand that they are on the same side in trying to fit properly and to be happy and to survive the weaknesses of the family where both of them, the mother-in-law and the daughter-in-law, married into. So if we could have more of this happening, say our sisters as husbands. Our sisters, they get married. They know the challenges of marrying into other families. If they could treat their sister-in-law, my wife, that is, with the same compassion that they want to be treated in where they are married into, it would help have harmony and comradeship amongst the ladies, the sisters-in-laws. That workspace.
I know. So let me translate those who missed that. You know, we were just having a thing with Mfundisi here, you know, because we speak the same language. Anyway, so Mfundisi is saying that. So I'm going to use myself as an example, right? So as Uzanele, I have to understand that I came into the Zama family by cows. I get it when they lobola, they pay cows and stuff like that. I came in here by cows. So if Ntembo goes out there and get married, that's my son. The wife, I as the mother-in-law, needs to understand that Ntembo's wife also came in by cows, you know. So we ought to be a teamwork. For this, you know, we can end the show now. We can end it anyway. But anyway, before we end Fundisi, we're not gonna end now. So it's okay, listeners. You can send through. Does Fundisi? There is a comment that a couple of voice notes that have come through. If you also do want to send through your comments, the number to dial is +27 734 703520. If you're on Facebook or YouTube, you can drop through your comments there on the comment section, and then we are going to be taking them. Fundisi, you know, we've spoken at length now. We are getting to understand, and a part of me is also understanding the issue of us as a unit protecting each other, you know, against the things that might arise with our family, with our families and our in-laws. And it's not all the time. There are people that are blessed, you know, with the most beautiful in-laws ever. We can't take that away. There are people that are like that. But from what you know, Fundiswami, or what you have heard during your time as a pastor, dealing with family life, you and Mom Dichedi, you're like me, you know, your in-laws are fine, perfect, alala. But when you are going out there and seeing other people, what is the cause that makes the mother and the daughter-in-law or the sisters-in-law and the wife to fight? What is the problem, then, Fundisi, as you're hearing, you know, when you are busy dealing with couples?
Yeah, thank you. That's a big one. I think the biggest issue here is the inability to assertively but gently. Those two words must go together. Assertive and gentle and firmness. Draw boundaries. There's got to be an ability to draw boundaries.
Mm.
You hear people say that, when Azama, you are not a Makoti here, you have become our daughter. If we were not on air, I was going to say, never buy into that story.
Yo.
Receive it with gratitude.
Yeah.
And trust that they mean well.
Mm.
But do not forget you are an in-law.
Mm.
Be conscious about that. It would help you set for yourself boundaries. When you understand you are an in-law.
Mm.
There is nothing less beautiful about being an in-law, to the extent that we have to drop being an in-law and say you are a child of the family.
Mm.
We can love each other. We can have the bonds that need to develop within the context of that understanding that you are an in-law. But a beloved, even a favorite in-law. So when we bear that in mind, then we're going to be cautious how we relate.
Mm.
What I have seen happen is the inability to leave. Back to Genesis 2:24. To leave our background or our family background connected.
Mm.
We have already said the Bible is not talking about abandonment or cutting ties as family, but it's talking about the setting of boundaries.
Mm.
That I now am in another family of choice.
Mm.
I'm now in a place where I am shaping my own designing and shaping my own family.
Mm.
And there's got to be new understandings, new boundaries that will be set. You no longer just walk into my bedroom.
Mm.
Because it's not my bedroom only.
Yes.
It's my bedroom with my spouse.
Mm.
At home, you could. You no longer make demands.
Mm.
You, whenever you talk with me, you and relate with me, you bear in mind that I am cleaved.
Mm-hmm.
I am meshed with another person.
Mm-hmm.
I am no longer me alone.
Yes.
So sometimes what we do is parents-in-law themselves failing to cut apron strings.
Yes.
They continue to live as if there's no other person in their child's life. The very thing that caused them to have ulcers when they were new in their marriage.
I'm funting. Yeah.
You made a mistake of saying when I'm out there doing my work.
Mm.
I have seen a situation where a wife has taken an axe, Beila, and chopped the mother-in-law with an axe.
Okay.
That's an extreme case.
Yes.
It's even so, I should have warned the listeners that I'm about to say graphic stuff here. But it does get that bad.
Yes.
And I think if our parents are unable, parents and siblings are unable to let go, the final duty stands with the couple to let go and draw a boundary.
Yes.
On how we will continue to be family with you, my family of origin,
but
how we will also not continue to do certain things as before.
Mm.
My brothers need to know, and I have a baby brother. I like calling baby brothers. That baby brother is 52 years old.
Yeah.
We know, all of us at home, that if you want his big eyes to pop out and become red, and he's left-handed, and you want him, if you want him to miss you with his left hand, make his wife upset.
Yes.
He will let go of the blood relations.
Mm.
He will protect his wife at all costs.
Yes.
From his wife's in-laws, which is us. And at the end of the day, what's happening is we all have huge respect for his wife, and we know he will not hesitate to take anyone on who makes his wife uncomfortable.
Mm.
So it has become a joke. But we laugh about it, but we know.
Yeah.
Now, you add to that, if she's unhappy with her husband, she knows who to report him to.
True.
In this case, she reports him to me.
Yeah.
And he becomes the lamest lamb when he has been reported to me. Because he knows. I, too, having learned from him, I won't let him make his own wife uncomfortable.
Yes.
He can't afford to misrepresent the Mongwe, the Mongwe, what do you call, brand.
Wow.
So we, as men, were able to club together, including our sisters, and make sure that each one of us protect our good name, those who honored us by getting married into our family. So imagine a mother who must now accept that their son is somebody's husband.
Yeah.
And that girl has the first claim to their son, whom they carried for 9 months, wiped his nose. You know what I mean.
Yes.
That's how mothers feel. And now she's giving full attention to some girl from somewhere else. Mm.
Yes, sure.
As if he could have married within the family.
True, you know, you didn't get them from Sahara Desert.
Exactly. When we see our mothers and our families struggle making the adjustment, we must lead in assisting them and make the adjustment. They are not, it's not always from a bad or a jealous or a possessive heart. And in this case, Mina, must assist my family to make the adjustment.
Yes. Fundisi, there's a comment that came through from Joseph. He says, yeah, I'm going to read it, and then after we're going to play a voice note. So Joseph says that normally fights start when the mother failed to let go of her son. She wants to run her son's life. The Bible says a man shall leave his parents' house so that he may become one with his spouse. If that hasn't happened, then we bound to have the fight over the territory. Number two, failure to understand that mother and wife occupy two different spaces and should never, ever compete. A wife can never be the mother to her own husband, and the mother can never be the wife to her own son. These two are mutually exclusive, but if the two fail to understand this, then we bound to see a fight. Okay.
Thank beautifully you, cooked.
What a beautiful cooked time for this. All right. I think we also do have a voice note. Let me just quickly go and play the voice note. Point is, tell me if you can hear it. So if you don't, I can play it on a different device. Yeah?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, this is a very complex one, Zah, because it depends on the setup on both sides. So I'll talk mainly from
the single parent perspective. All right. If you are playing it, I can't hear it.
Okay, you can hear it. All right, it's fine. Let me just now play it from a different device to our listeners at home. We're just trying to fix that so that Mfundisi can hear, you know, what the listeners as well are saying. Where is that voice note? Now, if you also want to partake, you can text us on +27 734 703 520. That number again is +27 734 703 520. Oh, I need to fix that. You know, I'm fixing things today, left, right, and center. You know, the in-laws, they don't want us to have this conversation. Let me see if this one will work now. Oh, it's my device that's on mute. Perfect.
Yeah, this is a very complex one, Zah, because it depends on the setup on both sides. So I'll talk mainly from a single parent perspective, you know. Because most mother-in-laws fight themselves as single mothers, having to raise boy childs with no knowledge. And then this boy child gets absorbed by marriage. You understand? So it's a bit difficult for them. So that in itself is a rift. Because the understanding of how we enter the marriage from the onset, both from the point of view of the wife-to-be, the mother, and the husband should be totally different. Umama, because for whatever reason, you know, it's a poor child. They've got this inseparable bond as a single parent, you know, those dynamics. And then, of course, the wife-to-be has her own expectations, of which they're not expectations of her mother-in-law. And of course, you have in the middle the son now, the husband-to-be. You know, he's also took the decision for his own interest, as it were. So all of these find themselves in a melting pot that is bound to create rife. I want to be. because of, basically, to answer your question, our expectations when we enter marriage are totally different, either from the East as to the West, when you put those three dynamics together.
Okay, so that is one, Mfundisi. We're going to play the other one, but as I prepare to play the other one, Mfundiswami, that cutting off the umbilical cord, as it may, at what point do the men themselves, you know, have the courage? You know, you spoke about humility earlier on, with humility, you know, and love to say, ma, ha-a. It stops here, you know, because sometimes they are also now stuck to their mothers. I think since we are from Limpopo, we know, you know, we often make fun of the baddies because with everything, it's bomme, you know, bomme. Once they say bomme, you know, they are done. But at what point do now the men themselves, they cut that umbilical cord with humility, saying, "Mom, I know you have raised me and everything else, but it's now time for me, you know, to raise this family of mine." At what point do they do that, Mpundiswa?
When I do marriages, in the past three, and I've been doing marriages for quite a while, but in the past 3, 5 or so years, I have made a decision that during the time of the vows, I get the parents of the couple.
Yes.
Of the couple to stand up and make a vow and a declaration.
Mm.
I ask the parents whether they think they are done raising their child on both sides.
Okay.
And whether they think that their child is adult enough to let go, for them to let go and stop parenting.
Mm.
Not stop being parents, but to stop parenting them, as in raising them, making decisions for them. And the reason I do that is to get them to consciously, maybe for the first time, cause themselves to think about what it means to allow their child to get married.
Mm.
And to make that public and conscious commitment that they can support the new family, but not interfere.
Yeah.
So support in whatever form, except interference. Mm. They must not be involved in the decision-making in the new family.
Mm.
And then when the parents have done their vows, I then turn to the couple.
Yeah.
And I ask them if they are willing to leave and cleave.
Yeah.
So I'm making that call publicly and at the formal beginning of the marriage relationship.
Mm.
So that I hope they will remember that as they leave, that they no longer have to consult with home of origin in decision making. So this becomes what some of the practical ways we refer to as cutting the umbilical cord.
Yes.
So we know from research, by the way, that the extent to which the couple, not the parent, the extent to which the couple is able to cut the umbilical cord, to leave, let's go back to the biblical language, the extent to which the man has the capacity to leave his mama and daddy, it's also to the same extent that they'll be able to cleave with the wife.
Yeah.
So if they can only leave 30%, they will not be able to cleave more than 30%, for lack of a better word.
Yeah.
So they better have that capacity right from the beginning. Actually, from the time they start thinking about marriage and planning about marriage, that's the first time. Do I have the capacity to leave, especially my mother?
Mm.
I deliberately used an accent of a foreign country. My mother, emphasis that.
Yeah.
Am I able to leave my mother? That voice note that talk about single parents, for instance, struggling with letting their son have a family where there is husband and wife. Mama might struggle to let go also. But we, if the child himself, the son himself, has the capacity, a full capacity to live, they will assist their parents who are struggling to cut the umbilical cord on their side.
Yes.
Over time, you don't want to do it rudely because they're still going to say, yay, mwananga, uhlangane na fona.
Hey.
Since he met this girl from Venda.
Hey, he's no longer the same.
Since uteke mwananga ulovile, uteke mvesha, bona mvesha lo umvurvaya njani. Naku ngudisa imudisile. Angani boni ku imemana yena. It's not always a smooth ride, but it can be done.
True.
And we, as the sons of our parents, need to be willing and be wise on how to do it.
So, last question, Mfundiswami, as we wrap up, but someone attempted to answer it, because what we had asked, you know, when we're preparing this conversation, you know, with my producer, we ended up asking ourselves this question, that does the approval of my in-laws matter? You know, because here I am as Zanele, maybe Standwa, that's my husband, maybe he wanted to marry a Tembi, right?
Is that his name?
Yes! That's his name.
You are in trouble. That's like having your husband called Honey. And other people are going to say Honey to your husband.
I put this, don't go there! I have that only time. Other people, they even ask us that, what do you say now when you are angry or when you are fighting? I'm like, let's not go there. You know, the calling now, it's different. You know, there's that standard kind of vibes, but otherwise, you know, it's just normal standard. So what is, you know, with that question now is, here I am, you know, Standwa at Sandra's house. Let's say maybe they knew a certain Tembi that they knew, you know, and they liked that certain Tembi, right? And then now comes in Zanele. And you find that now the approval from the family or it's not that great, you know. So the question was, does it matter, you know, the approval of the in-laws? Because as much as, yeah, I'm marrying them, but I'm not really marrying them. I'm marrying their son. Because sometimes we do adopt that situation or that stance where, I'm not married to you. I'm married to your son, you know, or your brother. But we shouldn't really get there anyway for peace. But does it really matter, Fundi? So before you answer that one, I'm just going to play the voice note that came through with one of our listeners who attempted to address that issue of if the approval of the family really matters.
For what? Approval? Hey, guys. You. Hey. The mere fact that this question is being asked shows that there's a problem. Approval from Tony. I left my mother's house. I was around. Why? Maybe I'm not getting you nicely. I left to cleave. So approval from Tony. For A. And I'm not downplaying this, Zanele. I'm really not downplaying it as if, oh yeah, one is a foregone conclusion. No. That's why I was saying for what? Because there's approval that's needed, whereas they are directly concerned. Like, for example, I can't just drop my kids off at their house without their consent, without their approval. because it's technically not my home anymore. It's their grandmother's home, for example, you know. So, of course, I need approval from the grandparents in that sense. But issues to do with my house, that's what I'm saying. Approval. Maybe we need to define disapproval, you know. But for me, yeah, there's two households. The approval that happens here, and they have two different authorities, and we need to respect those authorities.
All right. Your take, Mfundisi, and the answer to this question.
You should have listened to what he's saying also. It's saying, why are we asking such questions?
By the way, I'm from this. It's critical.
Yeah, exactly.
It's critical.
I like the way he's engaging.
Yeah.
Look, and I think he's not saying approval is not significant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not important. I'm hearing him to be also saying that it ought to be a given.
Yes.
We ought not to be even asking those questions.
Hmm.
But unfortunately, the reality on the ground, we have to ask those questions because situations where parents are not approving and so on. And part of the ritual, and I hope people don't misunderstand the usage of that word.
Mm.
Ritual is very important in doing life.
Mm-hmm.
And in the question of marriage relationships, I perform certain rituals during the marriage ceremony, which is a ritual in itself.
Yes.
I then ask the parents during the prayer of consecration of the couple.
Mm.
I ask the parents or the parent figures to come and lay their hands on the couple as we do the religious part of presenting this couple before God. So that their act, participation in that, we're hoping that it spells out to a blessing by the parents, which I think has religious significance besides the social significance. They are blessing the union. Now, if there's been somebody they would have preferred, or sometimes they may not be comfortable with this individual who's marrying into their family just because of what they think about that individual without any other person.
Yes.
They may think this person is not good for their child. But we need to assist them to reach a point where, although they did not approve, although they were not comfortable with this individual, they need to respect their child's choice and retrain themselves to accept and genuinely respect the other person and the choice of their child.
Mm.
Because the attitude, if the incoming spouse, senses rejection and get to know that they would have preferred other people, it's going to affect their relationship dynamics as in-laws. And it's going to complicate things.
Yeah.
We have seen out there instances where the family of one of the, either the wife or of the husband, they even continue communicating with their originally preferred partner to their, and it just causes hardship and pain and suffering for the one who is not being fully welcome into the family. Yes, the two of them, as a couple, at the end of the day, they must make sure they live their life independent and protect each other from those kind of harms. But yes, approval does make a difference in the relationship dynamics of the bigger family, or the new couple and the in-laws. But if we were to speak to these people who do the approval and the blessings, they need to accept, they need to get over it that their wishes didn't happen. And first time I used that phrase, get over it, since I was born. But for effect, they need to be converted and love the person whom their child has loved.
Fundisi, you have wrapped it up nicely. They love the person that your child has loved, because oftentimes, as we wrap it, Mpundiswami, we do see people that struggle with the in-laws not loving. And also, as we wrap it, Mpundisi, I would just like to say to our listeners that even men do struggle with what women struggle with. We do have men as well that they are not accepted, they are looked down upon, their masculinity is even challenged, you know, by the in-laws. So it's not a female issue alone. It's things that we do, men also do face. Maybe another day we are gonna look at how men, you know, can navigate that, because we do have soft kinded men, you know, like Abos Tandwa, you know. So in terms of, you know, how do we now, as the wives, we put our foot down and say, not with my man, you know, as the men as well also stand up and saying, not with my woman, you know, not with my wife, you're not going to be doing that today. But Mfundisi, we do say thank you. You know, we thank you for making yourself available throughout, I think, the whole week. We still have two more sessions we're going to be doing, because these are conversations we need to have in order to build our families. Daily, we cry about the fact that families are under attack. People are divorcing, you know, left, right, center. In fact, in the church, it's even worse. You know, even pastors divorce and so forth like that, even though we look up to them. But, we, you know, when we wanted to have little heaven, we like, this is heaven on earth, you know. So we're building it, and I'm super excited and grateful, Mfundisi, that you were part of those people that are going to say, Zanele, I'm coming through, we are going to be helping. And we just pray that, you know, the in-laws will get it together, man. Ish, let them get it together, you know, be like me and you, Mfundisi. But because this is a sensitive...
Can I tell you something, if I'm an you're speaking to me right now.
Yes,
I am an in-law. You are addressing yourself to me.
Okay.
I've just, in the past 5 years, I've been thrown into a new role of being parents-in-law.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, Ndichene and I are conscious, and we keep talking about it.
Yes.
And checking how we are doing as parents-in-law.
Mm.
We would like for our daughter-in-law to praise God she married into our family.
Hey, true.
And be glad to have parents-in-law such as us. And we hope we're doing the correct thing.
True.
By blessing her as her parents-in-law. And I continue to challenge all our listeners to let's remember how important it was for us to have great parents-in-law. And when it's our chance to be parents-in-law, let's be intentional about being the warmest, most amazing parents-in-law be to our children.
Indeed. Hey, thank you, father-in-law. Thank you, father-in-law, you know, for speaking for the father-in-laws and mothers-in-laws. As I let you go, we do have a message from Sis Andile saying that this has been so insightful. Thank you. Two big lessons. Learn that the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law both came on by cows, so no one has the advantage over the another. So they just have to learn to work together. Number two, principles and values to live by are that of the new family, not the old one. Such profound application to what the scripture teaches us as well concerning the family of God when we are in Christ. So, Mfundis, thank you so much. I think next time we're speaking about parenting, I'm not sure, but I think we're speaking about parenting on Wednesday. So I'm going to be super excited for that one, because now you know you're a father-in-law, granddad. We're going to be looking at that one. Pastor Jay, thank you for coming through and speaking to us here on Little Heaven.
Thank you for having me. God bless.
Amen.